Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the first canto, entitled Creation. And this is chapter 7, The Son of Drona Punished, text number 8.
Sa
Samhitam
Bhagavatim
Sa Samhitam Bhagavatim Kritvanukramya Chatma Jam Kritvanukramya Chatma Jam Sukham Adhyapayam Asa Sukham Adhyapayam Asa Nivriti Nirantam Muni Nivriti Niratam Muni Sa Samitam Bhagavatim Kritvanu Kramya Chatmajam Sukham Adhyapayamasa Nivriti Nirantam Muni Sa Samitam Bhagavatim Kritvanu Kramya Chatmajam Sukham Adhyapayamasa Nivriti Nirantam Muni Samitam Bhagavatim Anukramya Chatmajam Shkamatmya Namasya Nivratyamilitamuni Samitam Bhagavatim Namya Chatmajam Chatmajam Sukham Adhyapayamasa Vaishnavis
Satsamitam Bhagavatim
Satsamitam Bhagavatim Vanirmanam Chatmajam Sukham Adhyapayamasa Nivriti Nirantam Muni Sa Samitam Bhagavatim Atmanam Vayami Satmanam chukama dhyapaya nasa piriti niratam muni sa that samhitam Vedic literature Bhagavatam in relation with the personality of Godhead. Kritva, having done. Anukramya, by correction and repetition. Cha, and. Atmajam, his own son. Sukham, Sukadev Goswami. Adhyapayam, payam, asa, sorry. Taught. Nivritti, path of self-realization. Nirantam, engaged. Muni, the sage. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Vyasadeva, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, Sri Sukadeva Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. Please repeat. The great sage Vyasadeva, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, Sri Sukadeva Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentation on the Brahma Sutras compiled by the same author. This Brahma Sutra or Vedanta Sutra is meant for those who are already engaged in self-realization. Srimad Bhagavatam is so made that one becomes at once engaged in the path of self-realization simply by hearing the topics. Although it is especially meant for the Paramahamsas, are those who are totally engaged in self-realization. It works into the depths of the heart of those who may be worldly men. Worldly men are all engaged in sense gratification. But even such men will find in the Vedic literature a remedial measure for their material diseases. Sukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul from the very beginning of his birth, and his father taught him Srimad Bhagavatam. Among mundane scholars, there is some diversity of opinion as to the date of compilation of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is, however, certain from the text of the Bhagavatam that it was compiled before the disappearance of King Parikshit and after the departure of Lord Krishna. When Maharaj Parikshit was ruling the world as the king of Bharatavarsha, he chastised the personality of Kali. According to revealed scriptures and astrological calculation, the age of Kali is in its 5,000th year. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled not less than 5,000 years ago. Mahabharata was compiled before Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Puranas were compiled before Mahabharata. It is an estimation of the date of compilation of the different Vedic literatures. The synopsis of Srimad Bhagavatam was given before the detailed description under instruction of Narada. Srimad Bhagavatam is a science for following the path of Nivritti Marga. The path of Pravritti Marga was condemned by Narada. That path is a natural inclination for all conditioned souls. The theme of Srimad Bhagavatam is the cure of the materialistic disease of the human being, or stopping completely the pangs of material existence. Wow. Om Ajnana Tamadandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Ulmanitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakopa Chubhyascha Kripasindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sasamitam Bhagavatim Kritvanu Kramya Chatmajam Sukham Adyapayam Asa Nivritti Nirantam Muni. The great sage Vyasadeva, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son Sri Sukadeva Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. At the end of the last sentence of this purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the theme of Srimad Bhagavatam is the cure of the materialistic disease of the human being, or completely stopping this material existence. So this word, the theme, it's or like a narrative, is the central topic of the text. And the most common contemporary understanding of theme is an idea or a point that's central to a story, and which can almost be summed up in a single word, like love or death or betrayal. But in our case, it's the cure. This is the theme of Srimad Bhagavatam. We want to get cured. And this is the whole purpose of the Vedas. We're so fortunate to have these Vedic literatures, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, because these particular books were handed down in disciplic succession, without change, without adulteration. It's completely pure. Whereas other Vedic literatures, like we can see the now today, the Mahabharata, there's like 80 different translations available. So the Mahabharata wasn't handed down through disciplic succession. There's different people interpret it in different ways, and there's so many different ideas. So these weren't like passed down in disciplic succession. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Paramahamsa Samhita. It's meant for Paramahamsas. But not only them, for anyone, actually. Anyone could take advantage. So we see that the whole Bhagavatam, all the different stories, we have the Paranjana story. What's that meant for? It's meant to elevate one to devotional service. So we see originally there was one Veda, right? And then it was divided into four by Vyasadeva. Actually, Vyas means to divide. And so there's the Rig Veda, which is like the hymns. And then we have the Sama Veda, which is like music. And then the Yajur Veda, that's for setting up yajnas, right? You know, all the different details of what kind of stick you have to put in the fire. It has to be shaped like a hand. It has to be shaped like a cup, you know, different things. All the details are there. And then there's the Atharva Veda, which teaches us how to use weapons or how to curse people. So this is not so important in the Vaishnavas, but these other are a little more. So the Upanishads then are there, and they help us get closer. Actually, Upanishad means one who's related or close to. So the Upanishads are mostly about the disciple approaching the spiritual master or the guru. So this is what it means, the Upanishads. Like there's that word Upendra, which means the younger brother of Indra, right? So Upa means like it's related to. So these are, you know, helps us get closer to understanding and approaching the spiritual master. So then as mentioned in this purport, it talks about the Vedanta Sutras or the Brahma Sutras. So these are the commentaries on the Upanishads. So the Upanishads are actually very difficult to understand, you know, for most people. But also the Vedanta Sutras, sutra means a very concise statement, like Atato Brahma Jignasya. So it's like a packed statement, if you know what that means. Like, now is the time to inquire into the Absolute. But where's the Absolute? You know, you have to know how to unpack it. Or there's so many different other, like Janma Jasya. How does that go? Janma Yasha in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, talks about that. So these are very difficult to understand. So these Upanishads are there. They're actually meant for very intelligent people who can unpack them. And then we have the different commentaries from different sampradayas on the Vedanta Sutras. So like Ramanujacharya, he did his own commentary on them. It's called the Srivasa, or the Lakshmi commentaries. But our commentary is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have that. It's very fortunate. And also we have another one. It's called the Govinda Vyas by Baladev Vidyabhusana. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, as Prabhupada says, is a commentary on the Vedanta. And it's meant for everybody to be read. And if one sincerely reads this and submissively inquires, then he can actually become a pure devotee. So that's why Prabhupada wants us to read the book in a very systematic way so we understand the science of Krishna consciousness. And that way we can approach Krishna in the 10th canto. But even though Prabhupada says that, he gave us the Krishna book so that we can immediately get into the nectar of the 10th canto. But we're seeing it through the eyes of Srila Prabhupada's purports. So this helps us really see things. So this is the essence of religion. It's given to us through the heart of a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, through his purports. And this history of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's actually eternal. And it's been passed down from generations to different generations. Just like Sukadeva Goswami, he heard these 18,000 verses from his father. Lord Brahma heard the four verses only, compact version of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But then actually later he studied the 18,000 verses. And then Sukadeva Goswami, he repeated them. And now we're hearing from Suta Goswami. And also, we have Srila Prabhupada, he comes. And he has taken the essence of all these previous acharyas and commentaries, and he distilled them in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhaktivedanta purports. And now, his followers are doing the same thing. They're giving Srimad Bhagavatam classes, they're expanding on them. So, all these Srimad Bhagavatam is not stagnant, it's dynamic. So, the ideas are ancient, they're timeless, but according to time and circumstance, these are given by the great sages, the pure devotees, on how you can apply this ancient knowledge to this modern age, and that's what Srila Prabhupada did. In fact, all the answers are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, about everything, any kind of problem. Just like with the theme of this Srimad Bhagavatam is the cure. So obviously the theme of the class is going to be a cure also. So we're all talking about how to cure. So this is, we can see all the problems of this modern day. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, all the solutions are there. If you go about everything. So we're blessed. And if we relish this message in association with devotees, which is one of the most five potent forms of this Vaidhi Bhakti, then it'll get more and more relishable. You get more and more realizations. Then you actually be able to hear. You become pure and you can hear. And then once you hear, you act on it. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he heard so much. And he identified his audience. And he figured out how to address the Western countries. You can see actually India is being swallowed up by the Western so-called culture. But Srila Prabhupada was empowered. And if we simply follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions in the right way, submissively hear and chant these five potent, you know, processes of devotional service, then we'll also understand the right way to present this Krishna consciousness. So in the purport, this word condemned is there. It's referring to Narada Muni, who condemned Vyasadeva for compiling these Vedic literatures, which actually recommend Pravritti Marga, which is enjoyment. And that was in the fifth chapter, actually the 15th text. In the purport there, Srila Prabhupada talks about this. He says, actually this is the verse. The people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy, and you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. This is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instructions, they will accept such activities in the name of religion, and hardly care for prohibitions. So this is what happened. So Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, Srila Vyasadeva's compilation of different Vedic literatures on the basis of regulated performance of fruitive activities, as depicted in the Mahabharata and other literature, is condemned herewith by Sri Narada. The human beings, by long material association, life after life, have a natural inclination by practice They had a lot of practice. To endeavor to lord it over material energy, they have no sense of the responsibility of human life. This human form of life is a chance to get out of the clutches of the illusory matter. It's the cure. The Vedas are meant for going back to Godhead, back to home. To revolve in the cycle of transmigration in a series of lives, numbering 8,400,000, is an imprisoned life for the condemned, conditioned souls. So we see we're condemned. All of us are condemned. And it's like a prison. The whole mature world is like a prison. The human form of life is a chance to get out of this imprisoned life. And as such, the only occupation of the human being is to reestablish his lost relationship with God. Under the circumstances, one should never be encouraged in making a plan for sense enjoyment in the name of religious functions. Such diversions of human energy result in a misguided civilization. So what happened? They had regulations for how to slaughter an animal. So then, you know, they would follow that for a while. But then after a while, they just like, you know, as mentioned here, they just neglect the principles. And then they start having mass slaughterhouses. As we see today, it's happening. So that's why Narada Muni can foresee this and he condemned it. Because when people use this just to take advantage, because they don't forget. They don't take it up seriously, so they forget all this. And again, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, this compromising spirit of Vyasadeva is directly condemned by Narada, who advised him to directly proclaim that the prime necessity of life is to realize one's eternal relation with the Lord and thus surrender to him without delay. And Prabhupada also mentions, just like a patient, he's suffering from a particular malady and, you know, he's inclined to accept foods that are going to make him even more sick. But the expert physician doesn't let him do that. He's very strict. He doesn't compromise with the patient. So in the same way, we have to also be discouraged in this pravritti marga and not engage in sense gratification. So there's an interesting story in the Krishna book, which Srila Prabhupada gave us, and it talks about what it means to be condemned. And we can see there's different pastimes. There's that pastime where Krishna's father, they were performing some sacrifices at night by the bank of the Sarasvati. And what happened is Nanda Maharaj got swallowed up by this huge snake. And he was crying out, "Help, Krishna, help. I'm being eaten up by this snake. Help, help." And all the cowherd, you know, men and people there were trying to hit him with torches and do so many different things, but it was no use. Until Krishna came and actually just kicked him a little bit. And then he was transformed into this very beautiful personality. And Krishna said, "Oh, you appear to be a very nice demigod. And you're favored by the goddess of fortune. How is it that you performed such an abominable act and you got the body of this serpent?" So then he tells the story. He said, "In my previous life, I was Vidyahara. And I was known all over the world for my beauty. And I used to travel all over the world with my airplane. And then while traveling, I saw this sage named Angira. And he was really ugly. So then, you know, I'm so beautiful." Then he just started to criticize him. You see, and then he was cursed. He was condemned. So just see, by pride, it's the first, you know, it causes us to fall and be condemned. So he was condemned by this great sage, Angira, to become a serpent. So this is what happened. So Prabhupada mentions here in the Krishna book, he says here, "I was condemned by the great sage to assume a form of a serpent. One should note here that before being favored by Krishna, a person is always under the mode's material nature. However elevated he may be materially, Vidyahara was a materially elevated demigod, and he was very beautiful. He also held a great material position and was able to travel all over by airplane. Yet he was condemned to become a serpent in his next life. Any materially elevated person can be condemned to an abominable species of life if he's not careful. It is a misconception that after reaching the human body, one is never degraded. Vidyahara himself stated that even though he was a demigod, he was condemned to become a serpent. But because he was touched by the lotus feet of Krishna, he immediately came to Krishna consciousness. He admitted, however, that in his previous life he was actually sinful. A Krishna conscious person knows that he's always the servant of Krishna. He is most insignificant, and whatever good he does is by the grace of Krishna and the spiritual master. So here again we're bringing the importance of the association of the great devotees, like the spiritual master. So he went on to say, you know, that he was proud and all these things, and now he's, you know, condemned. But Prabhupada ends that pastime and says, a snake is considered to be most cruel and envious living entity, but those who are human beings and are envious of others are considered to be even more vicious than snakes. The snake can be charmed or controlled by mantras and herbs, but a person who is envious cannot be controlled by anyone. And then Prabhupada mentions also there the cure, the medicine. And there was a nice lecture by Srila Prabhupada. I think this was in New Vrindavan. Yeah, it was in New Vrindavan in 1969. It was an initiation ceremony. And Srila Prabhupada was talking about initiation. And he said here that if you forget Krishna, then there's a chance of, he said, just like medicinal science, if someone has an epidemic disease, then he gives a vaccination. And he said, just like in Los Angeles, you gave me a vaccination. And what is this? There was the Hong Kong flu going around at that time. And he said, oh yeah, the Hong Kong flu. So everyone took the vaccination. So our Hargriva Prabhu took me also. All right, let us have. So there was no attack. Fortunately, there was no attack. So similarly, this world is Hong Kong flu, Maya, is always ready to attack, always. So we have to take the injunction, this anti-vaccine, Hare Krishna, Enichi Asodi Maya Nasibaro Lagi, Srim Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he says the song, Ji Jago, I have brought this medicine for killing this Hong Kong flu of Maya. Enichi Asodi Maya Nasibaro Lagi. Harina Maha Mantra Lao, now take. So this is Prabhupada talking about the cure there. And this is that nice song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Ji Jago. People who know the song. Ji Jago, Gora Chandra Bole, Kotani Drajayo Maya, Pisa Chira Kole. So we'll just go to the fourth verse. Enechi Asodi Maya Nasi Bara Lagi Harinama Mahamantra Talao Tumi Magi. That's what Srila Prabhupada quoted. I have brought the medicine that will wipe out the disease of illusion from which you are suffering. Take this Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's our goal. And if you chant Hare Krishna, like Haridas Thakur said, that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, you can get liberation. So he says, that's that verse, Koti Janma Brahma Janmi Ye Mukti Naya. He says, after many millions upon millions of births, when one is complete in absolute knowledge, one may still not be able to attain liberation. Yet this man says that one may attain it simply by waking a glimpse of the holy name. So Haridas Thakur said, why are you doubtful? The revealed scriptures say that one can attain liberation simply by a glimpse of offenseless chanting of the holy name. So that's Nama Vyas. That's the clearing stage. So it's not like pure chanting, but just from the clearing stage, just like the sun's not up, but you can still see the light, things become clear. So in the same way we're chanting Hare Krishna, that actually causes liberation. You know, if you're not making offenses. So if we can attain liberation just by a Nama Vyas, then what's the achievement of pure chanting? Then we get Krishna Prema. So it's not enough just to stay on the Nama Vyas platform, because from that platform, it's easy to make offenses, or you could fall down from that platform. That's where a lot of people have fallen down from that platform. So we have to actually come to the pure stage. It's like, say you're in prison and you get out, you're like liberated. That's liberation. But what do you do when you get out? You got to have some place to go. You have to have some money, some friends, some place. So like, then achieving the love of God is like you get out of prison or you're a lost son, and then you go back home to your father, who's the king, and you're a prince. And you enjoy all the wealth and the opulence of the father. So this is the difference between liberation and getting pure love of God. We don't want to just get liberated. We want to actually develop our relationship with Krishna. So this is so nice. It's unfailing medicine. And when we take this medicine, all the sins just fly away. You know, all the bad planets, all the evil omens, you know, the curses, everything just flies away. We become cured. We become free from disease. Actually free from death. Just like Ajamil, he was about to die and go to hell. But his life was extended. He didn't die. And then he took up Krishna consciousness and then he went back to Godhead. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. It's so powerful. But it's so important. The one boon that we have is the association of devotees. Because without that association of devotees, we will make offenses. So it's very important. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions it's Nivritti and Praviti Marg. And you just look that up. There's so many things on that Prabhupada talks about again and again. You know, Nivritti Marg, Praviti Marg. And there's one place here, Prabhupada mentions it in the fourth canto. According to the Vedic instructions, there are two paths for the human activities. One is called Praviti Marg and the other is called Nivritti Marg. The basic principle for either of these paths is religious life. In animal life, there is only Praviti Marg. Praviti Marg means sense enjoyment, and Nivritti Marg means spiritual advancement. In the life of animals and demons, there is no conception of Nivritti Marg, nor is any actual conception of Praviti Marg. Praviti Marga maintains that even though one has a propensity for sense gratification, he can gratify his senses according to the directions of the Vedic injunctions. For example, everyone has a propensity for sex life, but in demoniac civilization, sex is enjoyed without restriction. According to Vedic culture, sex is enjoyed under Vedic instructions. Thus, the Vedas give directions to civilized human beings to enable them to satisfy their propensities for sense gratification. So that's Praviti Marga. But Nivritti Marga, there's no sex life at all. So they. And this is a pastime, this fourth canto, 25th verse, is Paranjana. And this is, in this particular chapter, this woman is advocating Praviti Marga. She's saying, you know, that we should discourage this Nivritti Marga and just engage in Praviti Marga, because she said the Yatis, or the transcendentalists, they're only concerned with spiritual life, Kaivalya. But they can't imagine the happiness of Praviti Marg. You know, if you follow the Vedic principles, you can enjoy a materialistic way of life. You know, you become happy. You know, you get promoted to the heavenly planets. You have all kinds of opulences like sons and grandsons. And, you know, you get all these, and you can perform all these religious functions. But what are the functions that they do? They're functions for birth, death, old age, and disease, isn't it? All the functions that we perform is for these things. So they get attached, not minding birth, old age, disease. They just get attached to performing these functions, you know, these ritualistic functions. This is the Praviti Marga. So one engages that. Prabhupada mentions that you're actually deprived of any glorious end in life. He does not care for the transcendental spiritual life. In this age of Kali especially, no one is interested in spiritual advancement. Even though it is sometimes found that one may be interested in spiritual advancement, he is most likely to accept a bogus method of spiritual life, being misguided by so many pretenders. So this is the danger. And, you know, we have to be very careful. So Prabhupada mentions, the Krishna consciousness movement is pushing forward the publication of Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained, especially for understanding of the modern civilized man to awaken him to his original consciousness. So we're going from darkness to light. And then Prabhupada says in the sixth canto that since Maharaj Parikshit was a Vaishnava, when he heard the descriptions at the end of the fifth canto, that's the hellish planets, He was very much concerned with how to liberate the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya and take them back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, he reminded his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami, about the Nivritti Marga, or the path of liberation, which he had described in the second canto. So he's very concerned, and these are the qualities of a Vaishnava. They're very concerned for the conditioned souls. So he was very mercifully inclined to help these conditioned souls in the hellish planets and what is best for them. So he said, please describe this Nivritti Marga again. And Prabhupada mentions in the seventh canto again, our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore training devotees to give up the Pravritti Marga and accept the Nivritti Marga in order to return home back to Godhead. This is a little difficult to understand, but it is very easy if one takes the Krishna consciousness seriously and tries to understand Krishna. A Krishna conscious person can understand that performing yajna according to the Karmakanda system is a useless waste of time, and that merely giving up the Karmakanda and accepting the process of speculation is also unfruitful. And therefore he quotes that Narottama Das Thakur in his Prema Bhakti Chandrika. A life of Karmakanda or Gyanakanda is like a poison pot, and one who takes to such a life is doomed. In the Karmakanda system, one is destined to accept birth and death again and again. Similarly with Gyanakanda, one falls down to the material world. Only worship of the Supreme Person offers one a safety of going home, back to Godhead. So there's so many quotes. Prabhupada talks about this Pravritti Marga and the Nivritti Marga because of our propensity, like children, to play. You know, that's Pravritti Marga. But we have to become serious and actually follow and the instructions of the Vedas and get educated from these teachers of the Bhaktivedanta masters, spiritual masters. And in the Madhya Lila, also again, when Krishna was talking to Uddhava, he was talking to him about these two kinds of Vedas. There's the one for Pravritti and Nivritti, which we discussed, and they're meant for higher understanding. So he talks that again to Uddhava Prabhu. So this is a very rare opportunity that we have. Can you imagine? We have these Vedic literatures. They're handed down in disciplic succession without change. They're pure. So we have perfect knowledge, you know, on the theme of life. What is that? To get cured of this materialistic disease. And we're also fortunate to have this human form of life, as mentioned. After 8,400,000 species, we get to the human form. We can actually understand. We have some intelligence. And not only that, but we're fortunate to be born in the golden age of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya only appears in one day of Lord Brahma. That's like one Kali Yuga in every 1,000 cycles, right? So now we're in the Vaivyavastha Manu. That's when Lord Chaitanya appears. First, actually, Lord Chaitanya appears in the Dwarpa Yuga, in the 28th Divya Yuga. So then Lord Chaitanya appears in the Kali Yuga, that same Divya Yuga. So Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, they appear once in a day of Brahma, and that's once in 14 Manvana avatars, and each of 71 Divya Yugas in duration. Can you imagine the time? So from the beginning of Lord Brahma's day, that's like 4,300,000 years, and then six Manus appear and disappear before Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya appear. So it's like 1,975,320,000 years of the day of Brahma elapses before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. That's described in the Adi Lila 3.10 if you want to go check it out. So even the demigods, they desire to take birth here in this golden age. When these ill effects of this Kali Yuga, and they're temporarily set back, and the method of achieving Krishna is so simple. But we're also so fortunate because of Srila Prabhupada. We would never have known about this golden age if it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada. We've wasted our lives in this Pravritti Marga. So we're fortunate to be not only born in this time, in this golden age, but also after Srila Prabhupada's appearance. You see how fortunate. Just without Srila Prabhupada, we would have remained completely in ignorance. Prabhupada mentions like swine. They can't distinguish between garbage or gold. But we're in this, instead of the garbage age, we should be in the golden age. Take advantage of the human form of life. So as I mentioned, Srila Prabhupada distilled these Vedas with his Vani in the Bhaktivedanta purports so that we can perceive and experience this golden age. Experience the golden moonshine of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's illuminating this dark age. So Prabhupada mentioned in a morning walk in Paris in 1974, he said, "Yes, always remember this grace of the Lord and utilize it." And then we'll end with this. Prabhupada gave a Srimad Bhagavatam class in New York in 1975. He said, "So this Krishna consciousness movement means, on behalf of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are canvassing from door to door. My dear sir, you are very intelligent, but you are suffering always. Take this medicine. Chant Hare Krishna." Sorry. So thank you very much. Any comments or questions? Realization? Yes, Rabindranath Prabhu.
Yeah, you mentioned how said that I think Narada Muni told Srila Vyasadeva that these other Vedic liturgies he compiled, such as the Puranas and the Mahabharata, people are encouraged to engage in sense gratification. They will just forget about the prohibitions. So, I mean, should devotees even read such literatures then? I mean, if they're written that way? I mean, should devotees read such literatures if they encourage sense gratification? I mean, like that.
Yeah, it's not encouraged. Just Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. That's all you need. Nectar devotion. Right? Krishna book. That's all we need. Everything is there. Everything. Was it Bhaktisiddhanta? There was a quote where he said that if there's only one book, it would be Srimad Bhagavatam. But if the Srimad Bhagavatam wasn't there, even Chaitanya Charitamrita would be the one. So we have Bhagavad Gita as a graduate study, Srimad Bhagavatam is a postgraduate study, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita is the post-postgraduate study. Lord Chaitanya came, he didn't preach so much, but he gave us his example on how to act. And he was a great exponent of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's very powerful. Yeah, so it's not encouraged. All throughout, just look up the quotes in Nivritti Marg, Parvritti Marg. There's so many quotes after quotes. Prabhupada says, we don't need this karmakanda. We don't need all these yajnas, all these things. All they're meant for is like, you know, just birth, death, old age, and disease. You just, okay, I'm attached to a yajna at my birth, you know, at my death, at my old age, my disease. It's not necessary. Thank you. That's a nice question. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Maharaj.
Thank you for a nice class, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Marsh.
I would just like to comment on Rabindranath's question in regard to the Mahabharata. I think he mentioned, should we not read it because of what Narada Muni says, that this is not the real essence, this is not the real cream, as we might say, of spiritual life. Sorry, I got a hoarse throat this morning, so please forgive me. So, as far as the Mahabharata goes, we must understand that there are many wonderful penetrating instructions that they have for us to offer, spiritual instructions for us to offer. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada himself would not have been quoting it so many hundreds, if not thousands of times in his lectures. So, Mahabharata does have a lot of mundane talk in it about fighting and conquering and all of this kind of thing. But generally, Srila Prabhupada brings it into a more spiritual direction, that the fighting was not for nothing. It was not just to strut and show your strength and your power, but it was really to rectify a horrible situation sinfulness which had come to prevail over the Kuru dynasty and which had to be removed unless the whole world could go to hell because of Duryodhana's setting such a terrible example of lying is okay, destroying your cousins, that's okay. I mean, all of these terrible things were going on. So that's the one thing. We don't have to avoid Mahabharata, but we should try to see the spiritual essence of all these different episodes and stories. They all have something to teach us, every one of them. And the ultimate lesson that we gain from them is that when you depend upon Krishna, as the five Pandavas did, and as they took guidance from Krishna, and they practiced the principles that Krishna gave, they were successful. They were victorious. The evil, although initially was apparently victorious because the Pandavas were in a very terrible, difficult, horrible situation, but ultimately they came to prevail and to succeed and to triumph due to the fact that they depended upon Krishna. And that's our lesson, you see. Depend upon Krishna, and Krishna gives us that lesson. Always depend upon me, work under my protection, such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. In 1857, 1858, Bhagavad Gita. So that was the first point of Rabindranath's question. The other thing is that when Narada Muni complains about Mahabharata and some of these other books, he's not really condemning them, but what he's saying is there's something better, something tastier, something more juicy and nectarine, and that is the charming pastimes of Lord Krishna, and that's what he wanted more description of, and that's because when we hear those wonderful, charming, lovable, adorable pastimes, we automatically become attracted to them. We automatically want to know more about them. We automatically want to read about them and hear about them, and that's what Narada Muni wanted us to do, not just to hear a story, but to become so absorbed in the story that we actually want to be a part of that and ultimately desire it and desire to go back home, back to Godhead. So that was the main point. They have a lot of good and evil, these stories and so forth, but this was beyond good and evil. This is transcendental. And transcendental means the heart is opened, love begins to pour from the heart to the lotus feet of the Lord. And that's what Narada Muni wanted Vyasadeva to do, to write that kind of literature, which when listened to, when heard, when read, will automatically cause a person to want that and nothing more.
Jai, that's why we need devotees like yourself with the lens of your purport to understand what the whole purpose of these Vedic literatures are. Otherwise, if you don't have the lens of the devotees, then the Prabhupada says, then you become attracted to the politics, to those things, and the, you know, the charm and all these yajnas from the Mahabharata or other literatures. So thank you. Any other comments, questions? Thank you. I'll go to Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll go to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you.